You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll find out why it's common to see crows or other birds attacking raptors like hawks.
First, since 1999, the State Department of Natural Resources has been monitoring the spread of chronic wasting disease in the white-tailed deer population in Wisconsin. Since then, the contagious neurological disease has been found in 43 counties in the state.
But new research out of Colorado has found that setting controlled fires might be one of the best ways to help reduce the proteins that cause chronic wasting disease. Mark Zabel is with us now. He's a professor in the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Pathology at Colorado State University. He's the associate director of the Prion Research Center. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into solutions, let's look at the cause of chronic wasting disease. When I think of a disease, I'm usually thinking of a virus or a bacteria or a fungus or something. This is really different. What is the cause?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The cause of chronic wasting disease and other prion diseases is mitigated by a misfolded protein. So this is a pathogen that has no genome. It's simply a misfolded form of a normal protein that all mammals that we've looked at express. And when it misfolds, it becomes toxic and causes neurodegeneration.
And this isn't something that reproduces in the way we usually think of things reproducing. It's just once one of these misfolded proteins, these prions, is there, its neighbors, the ones around it, start going wrong too?
That's correct. So it doesn't replicate using a blueprint like a DNA or an RNA blueprint. We refer to it as template-directed misfolding. So the misfolded form of the protein acts as a seed, and it binds with these normally folded proteins and coerces them to misfold into more of the prion-like state.
So I imagine that there's no immune system response to this. It's not a pathogen the way we'd usually think of it. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. So because this is a just misfolded form of a normal host-encoded protein, our immune system doesn't recognize it as foreign. It's the B cells that make antibodies and the T cells that attack infected cells that are infected with viruses or bacteria are eliminated through negative selection. And so there is no adaptive immune response to the prion.
Before we dig closer into what's going on with deer and chronic wasting disease, what other species have prion diseases like this?
Right. Well, certainly humans. There's several different forms of human prion diseases. Cattle contract bovine spongiform encephalopathy. There's a mink spongiform encephalopathy. There's feline spongiform encephalopathy. There's several different forms, as I said, of the human prion diseases as well.
It seems like this kind of came out of nowhere with deer, though, and spread, I think, faster than in these other species. From what we know, where did chronic wasting disease start?
Well, that's a great question, and my opinion is evolving. So I originally thought, as a lot of people do, that this was a disease with a foci out here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, just west of Fort Collins, Colorado, where CSU is. We thought that it was probably a disease contracted by deer that came into contact with sheep being held out at the foothills campus of Colorado State University that had incidental sheep scrapie, so that's the prion disease of sheep. And so we thought that had jumped the species barrier to infect cervids. However, I published a paper, and there's growing evidence to suggest that this might be a spontaneous disease. So most of the cases of chronic wasting disease can be traced back to Fort Collins and movement of game animals from here to Canada and even to the Midwest into Wisconsin, for instance. However, recent research that we published indicates that the normal form of the cervid prion protein seems particularly prone to misfolding, and that would suggest that perhaps CWD is a spontaneous disease that just happened in certain cervid populations. Supporting that idea, recently there were cases of chronic wasting disease discovered in reindeer and moose in Norway. So these are the first cases ever identified in Europe. And these have no connection to cases in Colorado or southern Wyoming, which we had originally thought was the epicenter. So my opinion about this is sort of evolving. One might expect, for instance, that because the deer density is so great and the range is so open in the Midwest, where you are, that the disease may have been discovered there first, and that just wasn't the case. It was discovered out here in the Rocky Mountains, where we have fragmented host ranges and much lower deer densities. So that's a great question. I wish I could answer.
Talking to Mark Zabel about chronic wasting disease. He's a researcher at Colorado State University. This disease, Mark, definitely having an economic impact on states that rely on their deer herds, places like Wisconsin, places out west. Hunting is affected by this. Before we get to possible solutions that are hard to find, let's talk about how it spreads and why it seems to have spread so quickly.
Right. Well, certainly the most efficient way to spread CWD is by direct animal-to-animal contact. So we know that is probably the most efficient way to do it. However, there's certainly mounting experimental evidence to suggest that indirect transmission can occur, too, just by introducing animals to areas that have previously housed infected CWD-infected animals. Without having any direct contact with those previous animals, new animals that are moved onto those areas have contracted disease. Research done by my colleagues here at the Prion Research Center have also shown that indoor housed and experimentally infected animals excrete prions into the urine, saliva, and feces. And if you move their bedding and their water buckets and their feed buckets into rooms with no prior prion exposure, and you have uninfected animals in those rooms, that they too will become prion infected. So we know fomites can transmit that disease as well. And also, if you look at the epidemiology of the disease, mathematical modeling of these outbreaks show that the most accurate models include an indirect component that includes environmental contamination, say plants, feces on the landscape, soil, and those things. So we do know that those different indirect components also contribute to the spread.
And as I understand it, these prions can stay in a place maybe for years and still cause infection, cause the disease. So I want to get into the solution you're looking at now, fire, controlled burns. Can you talk about how this would work?
Right. So, again, this is an idea that we have because we have so few options. We're talking about ranges across about half of the lower 48 states. And so typical remediation strategies won't work. So we're looking at something that could be cost effective and that could be implemented on a wider scale and larger areas. So what I'd like to do is to capitalize on some prescribed burns in different areas with my collaborators at the National Park Service that are scheduled for other purposes, fire mitigation, habitat restoration, and so forth, to see if this might be a viable alternative. So my idea is to take plant, soil, feces samples from areas endemic with CWD and that are scheduled for prescribed burns for other purposes. Let those burns happen, and then as the foliage grows back and the animals are reintroduced in the area, resample those environments to see if the prion loads have decreased.
And these prions are hard to, I guess you can't even really say kill, because they're not really alive. They're really hard to destroy. Does fire even necessarily destroy all these misfolding proteins, these prions?
Yeah, that's a great question. The short answer is yes. So there's one peer-reviewed publication that shows that there was some residual prion infectivity after incineration at 600 degrees Celsius. However, that starting material had a very, very high level of prion contamination. We call this a 10 billion or so lethal dose units. The contamination, the prion loads that we're talking about on the landscape in a natural setting are going to be about a million or more, 10 million fold lower than those. So fire should be able to reduce those prion loads to a very low or maybe even eliminate the loads that we would expect to see on the landscape. So fire is an effective way to greatly reduce the prion loads, especially the loads that we're talking about on the landscape.
And as we wrap up, can you talk about the urgency of doing something to try to slow the spread of chronic wasting disease in U.S. deer?
Well, absolutely. As you pointed out, this is a big industry in your state and in my state. You know, hunting is a $1 billion industry, and this is affecting many deer herds, both wild free-ranging populations and game farms. We have prevalence in our state up to 50%. There's a huge outbreak going on in Arkansas, and you know the continuing problems in Wisconsin. So this is a very serious problem that that needs to have an answer, and that's why we're exploring every opportunity that we can.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mark Zabel is a professor in the Department of Microbiology, Immunology, and Pathology at Colorado State University. He's also the associate director of the Prion Research Center. He joined us today to talk about how setting controlled fires in certain forest areas might help reduce chronic wasting disease among deer.